Just going through the scores of the weekend, the Titans, as we know, 27-24 over the Warriors. Roosters 60-18 over the Dragons. The Storm 54-20 over the Rabbitohs. And the Seagulls 32, the Eels 18. The Broncos 34 and the Tigers 10. Very popular result that was at the weekend. The Panthers 26 and the Cowboys 20. The Knights 18, the Dolphins 14. And we had the blowout yesterday, the last one of the round, with the Sharks blanking the Raiders 40-0. 40-0. So as we stand at the moment in the NRL table, Sharks have 7 for 14, as are the Storm. The Sharks have a way superior points difference as we speak. The Panthers 7 for 12, the Seagulls 8 for 11, the Broncos 8 for 10, the Dolphins 7 for 10, the Roosters 8 for 8, the Bulldogs 7 for 8, the Cowboys 8 for 8, the Raiders 8 for 8. And then we've got the Dragons 8 for 8, and way down there in 12th at the moment, the Warriors 8 for 7, the Knights 8 for 6, the Eels 8 for 6, the Tigers 7 for 6, the Titans 7 for 4, and the Rabbitohs, Russell Crowe's boys, way at the bottom, 7 for 4. So just waiting to make contact with Andrew Voss over that. Number of issues to come out of it at the weekend. Sam Ackerman is there as we speak. So, Sam, what was the match of the round for you if you take the Warriors out?
I'm going to sound, this sounds a little silly. I've got to say it, Smithy, when we're talking through these results. For me, the match of the round was the Warriors win. Obviously, that wasn't in the first grade. Harold Matthews Cup, Smithy. The under-17s competition, it's the been running over there in Australia for an awful long time, and it's the breeding ground of champions. First time New Zealand's had a team in the Harold Matthews Cup, and in the first attempt, they've beaten the red-hot favourites, the Western Suburbs Magpies, 34-16 at the beautiful Combank Stadium out there in the Sydney's West. So to come through, they just got a spot in the playoffs of the last game of the season, had sudden-death wins over the Eels and the Doggies just to make the decider. And they've taken out the title, they call it the Future Warriors, and the future looks bright with that result. So for me, that was an absolute barn burner. Really, really thrilled to see them get that result. And it's proving a good sign, let's hope, for the future, Smithy. But as far as game of the round goes in the NRL, the upset for me was the Knights over the Dolphins. I thought that was a sure money win for the Dolphins. So I was really impressed with them, which doesn't bode well for the Warriors since the Knights are next up.
Okay. Yeah, they are next up, actually. Let's go through two or three more of the games if we can. We saw Thursday night the Roosters 60 over the Dragons 18, the Storm 54-20. Storm looked great. How about also the Seagulls 32 over the Eels 18? What do you make of that?
Yes, no, I was the Seagulls game. I thought that the Eels, we know they've been a little bit hot and cold, and I think that personally, I think that Manly had to play strong to get there. They came up with some impressive defence to lay a platform to begin with that's led to a couple of their star players put on report, including Dele Cherry Evans. So interesting to see how that one plays out. But the Broncos were they ended up being pretty ruthless. They looked very strong. Reece Walsh had another one of those star games. Everything he touched seemed to turn to gold until he fell to pieces. Actually caught on camera having a little spew on the field towards the end there, Smithy. So he was, yeah, when he got the ball, he was running very freely. When he didn't, he had a very bad limp. Wow. Worked that one out. Yeah. But the Tigers almost got back with a try to Upi Coruscant, and they were only down, I think, about 10-0 at the time, and that would have, to me, changed the game. It felt like one of those tough rulings, much like we saw with the knock-on call against Wade Egan in the Warriors game that denied a try at a crucial time. But, you know, those tight rulings get made pedantically, perhaps, but still correct, and you can't really throw your toys over a correct decision. Broncos ran away with it. Looks so much better with Adam Reynolds there. When he's, that's not to throw shade at Jock Madden and Ezra Mann when they're running with Adam. There was no Mann and Madden played in the weekend. But I tell you what, Adam Reynolds is just, I still cannot believe how good he is at this stage of his career. Everyone kind of thought after he got the ability to walk out from the Rabbitohs that his best football was behind him. I'd argue his best football's been played over the past 18 months. He is in just phenomenal touch.
Cowboys Going down to the Panthers, 26-20. What do you make of this one?
Yes, well, it looked like to me like the Panthers were about to do it pretty easy. They got on a decent run. Brian To'o, I think he made 21 tackle busts through the course of the game, Smithy. He was just a wrecking ball. It always amazes me for a man his size, he can break just as many tackles as he does. But you know, they look like they're comfortably in control. A couple of late tries from the Cowboys certainly made things interesting. But the Panthers kept them at bay. So they got the score to 26-20, the Cowboys did, at home with 20 minutes to go. So all on. Well, 26-24, in fact. 24-20 it was. A late penalty goal from Cleary gave him a little bit of breathing space. But a real wall of defence. Dylan Edwards was very strong as a last line. He continues to impress. And to me, I find it very hard not to contemplate him as the New South Wales number one for this season. What else could he do besides what he's been doing? So the Panthers just, they didn't flinch, didn't freak out. They weren't worried about being run down by the Cowboys, and that's what makes them the champion side they are. Just kept their nerve, kept it together.
Interesting game yesterday, actually. The Dolphins going in as favourites here. They're at home. Wasn't a massive crowd, I noticed that. They certainly haven't got the feeling that the Broncos have got playing at that vast Suncourt Stadium. But I found that very interesting, actually, that game, because it looked they've got great attacking ability, the Dolphins. They're going to lose, by the look of it, they're going to use the Bromwich brother, lose them through to injury. That'll hurt them in there. But they look like they could break the Knights at will at times there. But they couldn't get the job done. They lost 18-14.
Yeah, and for most of the game, they were looking flogged. There's a try in the 77th and the 78th minute kind of made that more of a contest than it was. Obviously, it needed another miracle to score three tries in the last 3 minutes to get it done. But I tell you what, the Knights, and you heard the coach O'Brien speak about it afterwards, about how he worked really hard in making sure that the performances they'd put out before that, he wasn't happy with. So he spoke about the DNA of that team, the DNA of that city, the DNA of that region was to have a dig. They're not a type of team that should roll over. They're blue collar and they want to play that way. So it's a really intriguing insight into how he got his side up for this one. Like I mentioned the stat before, they've had a terrible record in Queensland. Just shocking. 2015 is the last time they won. And in fact, Dane Gagai, who scored a try and kicked their goals, he's the only player in that team who was a Knight when they won last one in Queensland. The Dolphins have been going well, so it looked for all money to me that the Dolphins would be getting up there. Certainly injuries don't help, but there was a doggedness about the Knights, and I was really impressed with David Armstrong. I said last week that he looks NRL quality to me. He's been, what I've seen from the lower grades, I like his debut run on at fullback, and geez, a couple of classy touches looked like he'd been playing first grade forever. So yeah, a great result for the Knights, one that they need. And it shows how quickly things can get turned around in the NRL.
And looking forward to next week, we don't really need to talk too much about the Sharks. I think they've got brilliant playmakers and they're doing enough around the field, the hard work to set it up for those playmakers who are just converting opportunities. The Raiders, well, I think they're going to threaten the competition this year, the Raiders. And not when you're left pointless at home. I think it's a poor sign. But if we go to next week and just have a quick look at next week, and first of all, we'll look at the Warriors. It's the 4 o'clock game on Sunday, and it's 12th against 13th, actually. But the Knights might be just playing a little bit better.
But momentum's with the Knights. After the performance last week, you wouldn't say the Knights were grabbing your eye before that. The competition is set in a way that they've lost one of the Saifidi boys as well through injury. So their injury stocks keep growing. They're casualty list. So I wouldn't say it's an impossibility. But travelling to Newcastle with a team that's got their back up is not easy. It is absolutely not going to be easy for this Warriors side. But that said, they're also a side that can be broken down with a well-structured performance. And that's what they've missed the last couple of weeks. The structure hasn't come through. The game plan hasn't been executed the way it has, and there has to be a confidence. So I'm hoping the 3 days off gave everybody an opportunity to get their head right within the Warriors. But I'm really intrigued. And do you know what Andrew Webster? You know, you might just say he's saying the right things publicly, but Andrew Webster says he's really excited to see how they respond. But that's the type of coach he is. Is that he certainly didn't wish that defeat on him. Really intriguing in his mindset. And I know enough about Andrew Webster, and people who work with him have told me enough as well. Is that he's not just, you know, he's not just spitting cliches or whatnot when he says this. He was upset after that game and disappointed and gutted because they lost the game. Not because of who they lost to, or they've lost a couple of games in a row. If they'd been playing, had won 10 games and then lost a game, he would be the same level of gutted with it. But there will be something will be different this week. Something will have to have changed. He's not the kind of coach that will go in taking the exact same approach to training and try to get a new result with it. So I'm intrigued to see what they do. We hope to hear out of Warriors camp a little bit later on this week to find out too. But I think they're more than capable of beating the Knights, but no way in the world should the Warriors start as favourites. The Knights have earned that, and the Warriors are going to go prove themselves.
So where do we sitting with our standoffs, our playmakers here? Is it just me, or is it just too much Sean Johnson when you look at other franchises?
There's a lot that do lean on them, but the ones who win premierships don't. You could say the same thing about, you know, obviously the Panthers are a particularly special breed, but, you know, Jerome Luai wasn't exactly around a lot or particularly effective come the grand final and the run-in, and the role played by Cogger there was just to allow Cleary to excel and have his moments. Sean Johnson's capable of doing that. Should point out, injury is playing a big role in this. Chanel Harris-DeVita, as well as the first choice Luke Metcalf, both on the injured list at the moment. So both would be in the mix. So it's not like they suddenly got somebody that can throw in at 5'8". They need to stay committed to Marty Martin, unless you want to put somebody completely untried in that position or try something crazy like one of the centres or fullback options going in there, or someone from reserve grade who's maybe not ready to have that kind of responsibility with a team that's still trying to find its way going forward. So there's no question that Tamati Martin is the best option they have available right now. And it's up to him to show he's the best option for when the troops come back too. We know that Luke Metcalf is a while away, but I don't think Harris Tevita's out for too much longer. So he's definitely got to prove himself. He's a pick-and-stick style coach. He doesn't make changes, Webster, for the sake of it. And Martin will know he's got the coach's confidence, but his playing confidence needs to lift too. He's far from the only one, but when he gets involved in the game changed. And I know it's easy to keep going back to that Rabbits game where the Bunnies are being beaten by everybody right now, but when he stepped in and found his, he looked very comfortable at a very short clip there. He needs to get back to that level of comfort.
It worries me a wee bit about it. How close are some of these players to coming back? I mean, got a text in from Sam to say, look at the forward pack now. No Jas Tavanga, no Bundy Afua, Nuakuri's out there, Lussick's still out there. I mean, how close are we to getting any one of these players back?
Nuakuri is still a way off, which is a real concern. I think that he is the guy who I was looking for to have a massive, massive season this year. I just felt that he was really well placed for that. As far as the rest of them go, we know that it's majority of the season, if not more, for the Metcalf and the halves. So he will be out for a while. There's a couple of TBCs who, you know, the hamstring, when is we're going to see Jas Tavanga back, could be a while yet. So a few players will start to drift back in. But right now, it's not looking particularly good as far as getting personnel back anytime soon. This period they're in now, they're going to need to get through that with what they've got. I think Freddie Lussick's suspension goes for a couple more weeks. Harris Tavita's got a calf injury. That is round 11, which is now when they're saying Jez Devonga's due back. Bunty Alfalo's hamstring is round 13. Marata Niokure's foot injury expected for round 14. Kurt Capewell's throat injury and Luke Metcalf's fractured leg are both listed as indefinite, as well as Dimitrik Sefikula, another one of those French first graders. So we're round 8, so heading into round 9, so there is no cavalry coming back besides the Lussick suspension for basically until they get home in more than 3 weeks' time.
That's scary. A little bit scary. Have you seen on other league issues? I was going to ask Fossey about this. He might have had an opinion or not, but the Paul Kent story, this is interesting. Jeez. Now, this is a very high-profile man in rugby league. He's used on a number of shows. He's quite a respected pundit in that regard, but he's in trouble.
He's also loved and loathed. He's someone that people either go, yep, I'll love that he has a crack, or people despise him for his, he's too opinionated, they disagree with his opinions. It's what people in that role, part of that is having a strong opinion. And if he was dishwater dull, then it wouldn't exactly be what people would be tuning in for. And people do watch NRL 360, sometimes just to get mad at Paul Kent. Obviously, he's just come through the end of last year. He was charged with domestic assault, domestic abuse. He has had his name cleared in that court case as it eventually stood, but if you haven't seen the vision, he's got into a bit of biff on the streets of Sydney, and he's being filmed with a video camera. It's so close to him, he can't have missed it. But he goes charging on looking for a fight. That could have been put out two or three times, but the fight went on. So who knows what did to instigate it. But as a person of profile, you can't afford to do anything like that. It's whether it's the trapperazzi, whatever you want to call it, where people are trying to goad him and get on camera to make a name for themselves and make a deal. Sure, whatever it is. But given what he's been through recently with his career and his personal reputation, he had to have been smart enough to walk away. There was an opportunity to walk away. He didn't take it. He's been stood down by Fox and the Daily Telegraph, and who knows what goes from here. If a player had done that on camera, Paul Kent would be one of the first to rip into him, saying he's got a responsibility to the club, he's got a responsibility to the game. So she's a hard road back from there, Smithy. Very hard road back from there.
It is a very tough road. We've all been in those situations where we wake up the next day and say, should I have made a different choice at that time? 11:20. 11:20.